Welcome in, everyone, to Stirring the Pot, episode 25, the last episode of our freshman year. As you all know, my name is RJ, and I'm along with...
Gabe. Connor.
Andrew.
Welcome in, boys. How are we feeling today on a very odd Tuesday recording day?
I want to go home, man. It's kind of at the point in the year where you just kind of want to go home. It's late April. I just want to go home and watch some Phillies baseball, man.
Oh, my God, yes. Baseball. I can't wait to actually go home for the summer. I'm actually working for my local MLB team, the Cleveland Guardians, this summer. So, thank you. Thank you. So, that'll be fun to watch in person. I think it'll be a really fun experience. But we're just trying to get through all of our classes. Finals are a fun activity, along with other coursework that shall not be named. If you know in this studio, you know. But... The NFL draft is 2 days away. One of my favorite times of the NFL cycle. I'm just so excited to see. There's just so much storylines, I think, and that's mainly what we're going to be covering this episode. It's not going to be as long of an episode as usual, but I think it's still things that need to be talked about because since last episode, there have been some, I think, some news drops and some rumor mill information that we can really break down and kind of see what are these top 10 teams doing. Because that's where most of the rumor mill is coming from. Is are they going to trade down or are they going to stay put? It doesn't even matter what the GMs are saying to the local media. I think you could go kind of anywhere with it. It's been very interesting to see it.
Yeah, are we going to start now?
Yeah, let's
okay. Because I've been, I don't know, many people don't know, I'm very active on Twitter. I get a lot of my sports news from there, but I've been seeing a bunch of different reports that the Arizona Cardinals, I've actually got two. Ones in the actually in the top 10. The Arizona Cardinals are reportedly staying put, so I'm assuming that means they're going to be taking Marv. But there's a big one that I've been seeing, which feels weird, but in the long run, it does make sort of sense. There's been a lot of buzz about the Falcons at 8 taking Bo Nix to sit behind Kirk Cousins. I've been seeing that from multiple different sources. I don't really see the merit behind that, but when you think about it, it seems like a Jordan Love situation.
Well, here's my problem with that, and as much as that does make sense, you got to realize Jordan Love was picked late in the first round, not top 10. I think that's something that, yes, Jordan Love had tremendous success his first full season in that starting role, and I give all props to him. I'm a big Jordan Love believer so far, I think. He's shown out and with not really the best wide receiver core.
My apologies. I meant that the Falcons are trade back candidates. So they trade the 8 and then take Bo Nix later in the first.
Okay. That sounds more believable. But even if you stay put at 8, I think you have a defensive head coach.
Dallas Turner.
It makes the most sense.
It's the only pick that makes sense.
I see both ways. I think really though, you're signing Kirk. If you take Bo Nix and trade down, what that tells me is you are not confident of Kirk Cousins long-term, even though you gave him that four-year huge contract deal.
I mean, OJ, you're looking at a quarterback, and I don't want to be that guy, but I think I'm the most qualified person out of the four of us here that about my Kirk Cousins knowledge. You're looking at a guy who's got, what, 3 playoff appearances, 1 win. He's 36. He's on the north of 35, coming off an Achilles injury. He wasn't mobile to begin with, so I'm not as worried as I would be if someone like, you know, Jalen Hurts had that type of injury. But he's proven himself to be a regular season motion. And I'm going to have to say it. He's getting paid like a Hall of Famer, but his agent's the one going to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. His deals over the years that he's got, oh, my God. I don't know how. Like, how do you fleece these teams into giving them these huge contracts for what?
What do you get, like 45 mil? I think it was 4 years, 180, right?
Might have been, yeah.
And so 100 mil was guaranteed.
That's insane.
That was the part that caught me off guard
at first.
Is because, like, right before, even before free agency opened, everybody was like, oh, Kirk Cousins is either staying put or going to Atlanta.
Plus, he's coming off an Achilles, isn't he?
Yeah.
Jeez.
It was like middle, late of the season Achilles, too. It wasn't like it was beginning of the year like Rodgers where you know he's fine now.
So you got to think they're going in to win now.
Oh, absolutely. I think you should with the roster they have. their defense isn't really too bad. It's just they had no quarterback play, and you don't know how to use your running back in Bijan Robinson. You're not going to play good. And you have to also realize that they're in a very weak division. This is the time now to pounce. It's a really weird comparison, but it's almost kind of like what the Houston Texans did. If you look at trying to get a little bit of a weaker-ish division and try and jump on top like they did, obviously it wasn't expected, but it still happened. You kind of get my point.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think if Atlanta does trade back, you got to get some good value.
Even then, I don't like that because Nix is already 24. I mean, what are you going to sit him till he's 28 and then have him be a first-year starter then? It just doesn't feel like a crazy good move to make at all.
I don't think Kirk's playing out that whole four-year deal.
There's no
shot.
But how are you paying him that much and sitting him?
Well, you mean paying, Cousins?
Yeah.
You're not sitting Cousins.
Yeah.
You're sitting Nix, and Nix is on that rookie deal.
Yeah, personally, I feel like you get like a, especially if the Knicks rumor goes through, I think Kirk plays 2 years of that contract and they look for like some sort of trade suitor, like a team that's looking for a bridge quarterback.
You could, but that's not necessarily guaranteed at all.
No, and nobody's taking on that contract. Why do you think the Broncos had to cut Russ? I mean, no one's going to take that on. And we see this all the time in sports. I think he's going to retire before he hits the number of that contract. I mean, Lou Alden just pulled out a random name to show my ball knowledge.
Oh my God.
The Lakers were paying him like $20 million a year when he was then playing. Kevin Garnett was the same way. I mean, this might be a situation where Kirk Cousins is sitting on his couch eating honey buns and, I don't know, doing more KFC commercials.
Yeah.
And he's getting paid $20 million.
Yeah.
That KFC commercial was insane.
That was nuts. I don't know. The only way I really see him playing out all 4 years is that if he plays really good and doesn't get hurt again, then you maybe have a discussion. I'm not even saying it's a guarantee. I think it's a long shot, but it's still a possibility, and I think it's a possibility that Atlanta really needs, because when he was healthy in the regular season, he played good. He played great. He had put up good numbers. Just when that playoffs come in, that's where you get your questions is, if you're Atlanta, are you just trying to make the playoffs, or are you trying to make an actual run and be a contender? That's where the real questions come in. But I think that's actually a very interesting point with Atlanta. But to pull back on Arizona, I actually heard the opposite, that they were actually looking to trade down with one of the suitors for quarterback for four, most likely to get McCarthy. I don't know who it would be. Probably be an option of New York, Minnesota. I've also been hearing the Raiders. Even potentially trying to jump in the top three, not guaranteeing it's going to happen. It's just things I've been hearing.
Typical Raiders move.
Well, I think you need to.
Yeah.
You got to get a young stud.
It's just I don't know. I've always been a bit of a Minshew believer, but obviously he's going to be no more than a bridge guy. But it kind of sucks because I feel like, especially with his stint in Jacksonville, he balled out on the Colts last year. But, again, personally, it's the Steichen tax, in my opinion. I've mentioned that before. But I do think that they will end up trying to get a quarterback at some point. I don't know about top three. That seems like a bit of a reach.
Well, considering they are currently slated at pick number 13 as of
a 10-spot jump.
Yep, out of this Tuesday, April 23rd, late April.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's another trade up candidate I've always heard about. You see it every year. Howie Roseman and the Eagles trading up in the first round. Like it's like clockwork. It happens every year.
They're slated at pick 22 currently.
So they're major trade up candidates.
I need to go back to that Raiders thing. And I saw one of your favorite people, Connor, Field Yates. one of your absolute favorites.
The guy
who says, what is it, Marshall Lloyd from USC is the best running back in the draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you know what he said the Raiders should give up for the second overall pick? And Jaden Daniels in parentheses. This year's 13th overall pick, of course, has to be. And two next year's first round, 2025 first round and 2026 first round.
Okay, the Marshawn Lloyd take is fair. Marshawn Lloyd's a very talented running back. But that trade-up is dumb. Like, how does with take it?
Marshawn Lloyd over Jonathan Brooks, Bucky Irving.
I think that's insane.
The number one running back in the class, no. but I think he has potential to be at least a top three running back in the class.
Well, that's a different story from one.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been looking a lot at the running backs recently. They're all really talented. If it wasn't such a wide receiver and quarterback heavy draft and like corner heavy draft, I think these running backs, they'd have a few first round running backs. I don't know. Because obviously Jonathan Brooks got injured. That tanked his stock a little bit. Jalen Wright had a crazy good combine. And I watched some of his tape at Tennessee. Dude's about as explosive as they come. But Marshawn Lloyd can do it all. He's one of those jack of all trade backs, and you didn't really see that much at USC because it was the Caleb Williams show, and it's gonna be in Chicago too. It's gonna be look at me, but Mr. Meeseeks, look at me. But yeah, Marshawn Lloyd was getting overshadowed by Caleb Williams and those wide receivers. I don't know. I feel like you could definitely get him like mid third, late fourth, easily. And be really happy with your pick because he could be one of those. He's one of those boomer bust guys. But that Field Yates take about Marshawn Lloyd, take it with a grain of salt. Sometimes he's not the greatest source for stuff like that. But in the long run, he could have a point. Like, he could be cooking with something.
Another thing you're missing out as well is if you don't have a defense and you're getting torched on every possession, you're not going to be able to run the ball.
Yeah.
So that also kind of takes away from production as well that he could have maybe had.
Yeah.
But another team that a trade down team, this is just my opinion here, what I'm truly thinking of what I've seen, it would make a lot of sense for him. Indy's at 15, right? Now, who's going to jump and get Worthy? Someone's going to want to do it. Or if someone else that's supposed to be slated in the top 10 falls enough, there's going to be a team that'll try and trade up it.
I think 15 is too much of a reach for him. Like, I mean,
I'm not saying he's going 15. I just used him as an example.
Yeah, I know. But I think if it wasn't for the circumstances in prior drafts, that would be the case. I think people would go up to 15. John Ross.
God.
Because I think a lot of people are going to look back at that John Ross pick for the Worthy pick. I'd put Worthy at like a Bills. Like the late first round kind
of
guy.
Yeah, I had him going late first, in my opinion of how as it stands right now. Just saying if Quinyon Mitchell's gone for some ungodly reason, let's just say he's gone in this scenario, I would trade down if I were them. Trade down to like, I'm going to use an example here. Say Pittsburgh wants to trade up 20. You get a cut, you only fall back like maybe 5 picks and recoup some assets. It'd be pretty smart.
All I'm saying is if the Steelers don't take Worthy at 20, do not be surprised if the Eagles make their trade in the second round and take Xavier Worthy in the first round. Howie Roseman and all of the Eagles guys love their explosive wide receivers. You saw it with Devontae Smith. Obviously, he was a home run slam dunk pick, Heisman winning wide receiver. They love their fast wide receivers. I watched Jeremy Maclin growing up. That dude was a speed demon. And it's just historically Philly. They just need those explosive guys. It fits the town, but I don't be surprised if they take Xavier Worthy in the first round.
I mean, all Philly does, minus Whiteside, they pick fast receivers. Why do you think Jalen Reagor went so high? They just love that type of talent. Devontae Smith was a developmental piece. He's 150 pounds coming out.
Yeah, he had those weight concerns coming out.
But he was a proven wide receiver. Xavier Worthy is not John Ross. John Ross was a track star playing football. I feel like Worthy could turn into a football player that could be a track star one day. That's just the type of thing it could be.
Yeah, kind of like a DK situation, but except there's a very large difference in the physicality of those wide receivers. But again, like you were saying, like Devontae Smith, they like their string bean wide receivers. They love their fast, go up and get the ball, but not the most physical guys. It's just in the city's blood. That's just what they love. But all I'm saying is do not be surprised at all if Worthy's an Eagle. Like I'm it just feels right.
It would shock me a little bit. Yeah. It's not the most surprising thing in the world, but that wouldn't be my top four teams of him going there. No. Absolutely not.
No, but Howie Roseman loves his reach picks.
And then here, I'm going to also, I'll use this around for everyone to kind of answer. Minnesota, obviously, you know, they have pick number 11, and they also got 23. That was originally the Cleveland Browns pick that was traded to Houston, obviously as part of the Watson deal. I think the final first rounder that they have at 23. I think there is no shot they're keeping that pick. There is no shot.
I think you have to see how it plays out.
Something else real quick to kind of make it make more sense. What if they use 23, trade up maybe a couple spots higher to maybe use that as more leverage to those top teams that are in, like, I'd say top 6-7 or 6-5 range to kind of, you know, just those couple picks could be the difference between a trade and no deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think they, because they traded up to the 23rd spot, I think they use that as incentive that they are trading away the 11th because you need a first-round pick. I mean, that's all well said and done. It's really hard. As a Browns fan, RJ, you know how hard it is to draft without a first-round pick.
It's annoying.
It really is, and the Rams also qualified to know that. But I feel like it's an incentive. It's a backup. That's a good spot to have. 23 is a great spot, especially for the depth in this draft. Wide receiver, maybe. You don't know how Jay Jettis' contract's going to turn out. That's a great spot to draft a wide receiver. I think a trade-up needs to happen, but the number one X factor about this whole thing is legit. What the heck do the other teams do from 4 to 10, really?
And I'd say, yeah, so 4 to 11.
There's 4 qualified quarterbacks. The most realistic one falling to 11 is McCarthy. Do you trade back even more with the 11? Like, you trade the 11, trade back, and pick up Penix in the late first round? There's so many possibilities for the Vikings. Because let me tell you something, and I wish John was here for this. Sam Darnold is not that guy.
Well, no. Everybody knows that. And I know, especially John listening, he knows that for sure. He's punching the air right now. Punching at the ghost like Sam Darnold was. Anyway, my point being, though, here is with Minnesota, I think if you're a Minnesota fan, if you don't trade that 23rd pick and you end up taking a receiver, that's basically the organization telling their fans, all right, Jettis is gone. I think so. If you're a Minnesota fan, you want that pick traded and you want to go up and pick one of the premier quarterbacks. I think that's the best case scenario for Minnesota if they can get a deal done that doesn't sacrifice like 3 years of their future.
Yeah.
Has to come at the right price from both sides.
And going off the Jettis thing, I know a lot of the buzz everyone wants. Oh, Jettis back with the LSU gang to the Bengals. I don't want him, dude.
You don't have enough money for him.
No. Like, we'd be in salary cap. We'd literally be in salary cap purgatory.
You would have no defense.
We would be in purgatory.
You would have no defense, and yeah. You wouldn't even have an O-line.
Logan Wilson, gone. Trey Hendrickson, gone. Who else? Obviously, Von Bell's on a one-year deal, but
just
gone.
Anybody who's good is gone.
Yeah. Cam Taylor-Britt, gone. So we would basically be sent to Dollar Tree employees on our defense.
Yeah.
To have the greatest wide receiver duo ever.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it.
Other than the old Colts duo. But, I mean, I feel like they'd get up there. But as a Bengals fan, I politely decline that because he's going to want at least, like, 40 mil.
And he's going to reset the market again.
Yeah.
I think it's well-deserved, though. I have no argument with it.
Yeah, he's the greatest receiver we've seen in a very long time, probably since Calvin Johnson.
He's getting up there. He's going to have to keep producing, obviously, but at this current moment, he's having a Hall of Fame type of career start. Yeah.
Like an Antonio Brown.
Without the craziness, yeah.
On-field Antonio Brown.
Okay, there you go. That's different.
I completely agree that the quarterbacks are truly going to be the ignition to the draft because I saw that JJ's odds went from, like, plus 2,600 to go second to, like, plus 1,000. So I think it's just smoke because, you know, it happens around draft time where a quarterback just gets buzz or whatever. But if teams just start getting quarterback happy, then trades are going to start happening and somebody's going to reach on him. We've
never seen a quarterback in J.J. McCarthy's position fare out well. There's two names that come to mind when I think of J.J. McCarthy. Mitch Trubisky and Zach Wilson. These guys were early second round to late first round talents. out of nowhere, literally out of nowhere. It wasn't combine. It wasn't, well, Zach Wilson was pro day, but it wasn't really pro day either. This out of nowhere. They show a few flashes here and there, and they're apparently top two, both of them second overall picks. And I'm like, they came out of nowhere for a reason. It's been all year long, and minus Jaden Daniels, he won a Heisman. That always takes humongous consideration. All year long, it's been Caleb Williams and Drake May. I feel like those are the two best quarterbacks in the draft because from the last 2 years now, it's been about them. They know what they could do years from now. It's trusted. Mitch Trubisky, on technically his fourth different team because he went back to the Bills. Zach Wilson, by the grace of God, if you've seen that Trek meme with like Rumpelstiltskin, where he signed the contract, that was legit the Jets. I mean, like, I maybe JJ can prove me wrong, and I love when players prove me wrong, but JJ McCarthy is the most scary prospect you can have. Your team, especially Patriots and Washington, if they were to draft JJ, you're tossing and turning in bed being like, oh God, is this a Zach Wilson situation?
Oh, absolutely. I think especially coming from the fact that you said Trubisky almost went one. And that draft was a fun fact. Our Cleveland Browns management was split at the time, and we basically had to tell our GM to literally shut up, and Miles is the right pick. And obviously you've seen how that's turned out. But that's the thing. Here's my problem, though, is everybody who's going to support McCarthy rising this high is going to say, oh, well, he played the competition compared to Trubisky and Wilson. Well, here's the other problem. Zach Wilson and Mitch Trubisky didn't have the top-ranked defense in the country, one of the top-ranked O-lines. That's my problem with McCarthy. It's not that I really hate that he went to Michigan or anything. I'd be saying this about any player or any quarterback that's in his position. He has all the talent around him, and the coach especially, to win and go undefeated and go to the title game. That's my problem. It's really, how does he fare out as an individual prospect? Like, put him on a normal team that doesn't have a bunch of draft picks and stars studded all around is my problem with that. I think that'll be something that teams, I don't think, are really trying, or at least in my knowledge, taking a notice of. But maybe I could be wrong. But I know Vegas has been nuts with flipping their odds at number two, Gabe, for your team especially. I've seen, geez, it's been May, Daniels, even JJ's been rising fiercely high, which I think, and maybe it might be just Vegas being Vegas, but God, I would be a little bit scared.
They don't know. It's Vegas, man. They don't have a clue. It's the same thing with Adam Schefter. It's the same thing with someone like Stephen A. Smith. We've seen recently, what is it, like JBA football, whatever that was, PA, fake. Yeah. Yeah. It's like everything. It's like, Drake May has the highest percentage to go second. And then the very next day, it'll be Jaden Daniels. They just don't know, and they're looking for clicks. It's something like that. I will say J.J. McCarthy, on a number standpoint, has risen. He went from like one out of 200 chance to where he's sitting at now at a 1 out of 11 chance. But I feel like Washington and the Patriots know who they want. They know who their backup is in case, you know, what's obviously Washington's favorite is Caleb Williams. But Washington knows what they want at two. The Patriots have their backup plan for whoever falls them at three. I think that's a known fact. I don't think Washington is battling this. I feel like they have a guy. They've had their guy. They met with all three of them on the same day. I feel like last Thursday. I feel like they know who they want, but they don't want anyone to know. In case something like a humongous trade from the Patriots or maybe, you know, the Vikings, a humongous trade package that you just can't refuse comes up, you never want to know. You don't want your opponent to know your next move. And I think that Washington is doing that. I mean, I've never seen a team do it better here because nobody knows what they're doing.
No one knows. I really think it's, once you get to the first overall pick being selected and it end up being Caleb Williams, oh my God, the frenzy that would be in Detroit if it wasn't Caleb. Oh my God. That city might burn down.
Yeah.
No, Detroit, just because of how much ruckus. Because, you know, once the, 21 draft, when that Aaron Rodgers news broke down, the draft was in Cleveland. I was actually there for the pre-draft festivities in Cleveland. Everyone was just going nuts, like saying, oh my God, Rodgers is going to be gone. Everybody was freaking out. It was nuts. I haven't really seen so many fans in one spot for favorites almost every team. I was just like shocked that it's the news drops and bombs and everything that come down on draft day or on or like day before. Recent years, I remember when Miami or yeah, I think it was Miami traded up or traded some picks to San Francisco, and that all happened a couple of days before the draft. This draft hasn't really been, besides Minnesota getting that, what did I say, pick 23, there hasn't been much, which really is going to tell me that draft night is going to be nuts because we all project it's going to be this, and then draft night comes and we're completely wrong. I think that's going to happen again. I don't know what fashion. I'm just, all I know is I'm excited for it. Because whether you see it now or not, this could be the draft that starts some perennial team that's, look at what Houston did last year. Could be one of those situations again. It could be not. You never know. It's a bunch of games of what-ifs and everybody trying to play chess with each other, I really think is what the NFL draft is. And it's progressed a lot far than it used to be, like back, especially like in the 80s, 70s, where it was, you know, just a players meeting draft. But real quick, I'll just mention this out about my team, the Cleveland Browns. Honestly, I wouldn't really be shocked if there's, let's say, San Fran or Kansas City or somebody doesn't like their options at 31 and 32. I can maybe see Cleveland being a trade-up candidate just in the late first round to get something in the first round. Or if their receivers are going off the board really quickly and we want one so bad. Or even in the second round, like an early second round trade-up candidate could be us, because I know we have a decent amount of fourth round picks, I believe. I think we have like a couple. So it's very interesting to see, because like this is a draft where like the every like rounds 2 and 3, I think, will be the most interesting of the most questionable, rather than round one, which is nuts saying how much we've what-ifed and mocked everything in round one. In a couple episodes ago, we did. But this draft's going to be insane. I think, talking for everybody here, we are going to be glued to the TV hours before. I know we're going to go to a place to watch it. We'll have a good time. Maybe even might get some content there. Never know. Live reaction stuff. Just throwing stuff out.
Stirring the pot live reaction clips.
Oh my God. Should
I bring my, Media 225 tripod?
Yeah. Worth a shot, yeah.
Film it, yeah.
You've got a guy with the second overall pick, and I could get McCarthy. Do you not want to see me on the floor crying?
I want to see that.
That would be hilarious.
Oh my God. I think, though, this draft's going to be nuts. This might be one of the most insane drafts we've seen in the past couple of years, just with movement and trades and everything.
Yeah, I just pray my team takes either an interior lineman or a corner. That's really all I want. Well, you have 17?
18.
18? I just want to say. Oh, no, 17 is Jacksonville.
Yeah. Because you're above teams like Pittsburgh, L.A., the Rams, Dolphins. Yeah, so you're above a couple of teams. So, like, you can have a good pick at that spot. I think you should be happy where you are.
Honestly, I wouldn't even be mad if we were trade-back candidates. Because, I mean, I don't know who's going to want to trade up to 18, but I got the Eagles.
Yeah,
the Titans did that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they did do that for Treylon Burks.
Yeah, that was the A.J. Brown trade. That's the thing, though. You also bring that up as well. We could see a star get traded out of nowhere. I think it wasn't it him and Hollywood Brown in the same first round?
Yes.
That got traded? That was nuts.
I think it may be different, but there's definitely going to be a trade. There's never a draft without an exciting trade.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what I think most people look forward to, is who is going to be an idiot, the Bears, and who's going to be really smart with their pick.
Don't be surprised if T. Higgins gets traded on draft day. I know he said he's committed to the team, but if we really think about it, he's probably not. Actually, no. He said he's committed to playing for the team, but I don't even know who we'd trade up for. I mean, maybe we'd go for like a Dunze if he was available at 10 or something like that, but I still think we'd get way more value with T. Higgins.
I don't know. I think looking for
That was major buzz like a week or two ago.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at teams now. I think what you might maybe get is a team like, this might be a wild shot. I'm just taking a guess. Green Bay. I think Green Bay could be a decent candidate. They're at 25. You get their 25th pick in, what, third rounder?
It's interesting.
Third or fourth?
I love, don't get me wrong, I love the Stephon Diggs trade. I feel like it's like John would say, addition by subtraction. What I don't like is when they did it. Players seem to have more value come draft day. I mean, you think Marquise Brown is going to get a first-round value 3 weeks before the draft, four weeks before the draft? Mm-hmm. No. I feel like if the Bills would have waited, Stephon Diggs, maybe you can jump to that 15 spot for just Stephon Diggs, maybe like a 16 spot. I think patience, they've waited enough, let's be honest here, mm-hmm. but patience for an extra month might have just, you know, cost them.
I wouldn't say you're getting first-round talent, though. I'd say like early second-round pick. That's what I could see that would make sense if he was still in Buffalo and they wanted to trade him. I'm just looking around at the later teams. That's why I'm curious. So, like, would any of these, like, even Arizona having that pick 27 from Houston, do they trade down from that and get more like early or later-ish round assets to use to kind of build that team all around rather than just get one? Because they're not picking receiver again, obviously. So it's just up to debate. You could kind of build a debate for a couple of these teams that actually has real merit. It's just you don't. Obviously, you can't guarantee if it's going to happen or not. But, wow, this draft's going to be nuts. I think Detroit's going to be a great venue for it. I think they've been preparing that well. Seeing the ad with Eminem and Goodell, and it was pretty funny. I think that one was interesting, that he's kind of been getting in more NFL stuff, especially since Detroit's been getting actually better and is actually a great team, which, respect to Detroit, because I know how it feels. So, respect to Detroit. But... any other final storylines that we want to cover, even a player to rise or drop? Any predictions? Might as well while we're at it.
I was talking with Andrew on the PRT on the way here. There's been a lot of talk, namely on ESPN, about the interview that Caleb Williams had about his time at Oklahoma. And there was a lot of talk about him saying he was, quote, a lot better than Spencer Rattler at the time. Now, mind you, I don't know why I'm saying Spencer Strider. It's because I'm paying attention to baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Spencer Rattler was a very highly touted recruit. One of the best, if not the best, high school quarterback to come out of Arizona. I think the other one was, Kyler Murray? It was him and Kyler are the two best recruits to come out of high school in Arizona? Yes. He was a consensus All-American, like, pretty much all 4 years of high school. And Caleb Williams automatically thought he was going to come in and be the guy out of his freshman year. That's not how it works, but that's how he thought it was going to be. And a lot of people are criticizing him because it kind of seems like, through that interview, a lot of people saw his true colors, so to say, that he's a lot more self-oriented than team-oriented. And obviously we saw the thing about, was it Jalen Johnson that came out and said that you got to earn your spot in this team?
I think something like that.
And everyone was like, oh, they were all hemming and hawing about that. It's like, oh, that's not how, that's getting off on the wrong foot already. That's the kind of stuff you need from a team leader. Because obviously Caleb coming in with the number one pick, like, I've never met the guy. I can't really say he's like, you might have to bleep this. I can't say he's a jerk off.
Yeah,
anything,
you can't. You can't.
I've never met the guy.
Yeah, you've never had a personal experience with him,
no. But
you're not gonna know.
What the media is portraying him to be is kind of more like a prima donna. Like, you know how people, if you watched QB1, you knew Spencer Rattler was a prima donna.
Oh my God,
he matured a lot, but because he's been through a lot in college. He was kind of forced into maturity.
He had to get humbled.
Yeah.
You just had to. But let me ask you this, though, kind of to add on to that. Obviously, you talked about that in an interview. Do you think that's the reason why Chicago traded Fields so early?
Yes.
It's because to avoid that confrontation like he did with Rattler at Oklahoma.
Yes.
We're not comparing skill there. I'm just saying.
No.
Having another quarterback in the room to compete. Because I think if you trade Fields at draft day, you would have got a lot more value out of him.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's the thing with comfortability coming into the locker room and knowing you're going to be the guy. But then again, that also creates a bit of a weird thing in some of the I can't say kids because they're not in college anymore.
The pros.
It can create something in these guys' heads in the locker room. It can just kind of say, okay, they're creating a roster spot for somebody. They already think they're better than us. And I don't know, it could maybe create some waves in the locker room, maybe not get everyone off to such a good start. I don't like the fact that they traded Fields so early, because that kind of shows that they're just kind of giving up on a player that they spent so much on. I don't know, that was not a good look for the Bears front office, especially not for Ryan Poles. Obviously, I think he's a pretty good GM, but that was not a good move from him, in my opinion.
It was a pressure move.
Yeah, he was under a lot of pressure to get that done. But I think the main reason that they traded him so early is because his stock was falling so dramatically. Because everyone was thinking, oh, this guy's terrible. They're all hemming and hawing about Fields and how he's such a bust coming out of the draft. It's a sensible move, but in the long run, I think they're going to regret not trading him on draft day.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and you're also factoring in things like, oh, these quarterbacks could, let's just say off ESPN's quote-unquote reports that they see 5 or 6 quarterbacks going in the first round, which is insanely nuts if that does end up happening. But let's run with it. You're looking at these teams that are in day twos looking for a quarterback. You could have got a good pick for him and not, what, was it a 6th, if that?
Yeah.
Like,
it was conditional, wasn't it? It was a conditional 7th?
Yeah, that turns into probably like the thing with Rodgers' trade. I don't know. I think they're really going to regret it, and it wouldn't shock me if Fields, for some reason, gets vaulted into that starting spot in Pittsburgh. Just say, let's say Wilson doesn't play well or something, and Fields comes out and he balls out and plays out of his mind, and let's say with Caleb Williams, you got drama starting halfway through the year, you're going to look like an idiot franchise. It's just the truth. Like, you gambled everything for this guy. You better hope he is better than your franchise all-time quarterback, Jay Cutler, which is...
That's really not that hard.
I know. It's saying something, though. It's really saying something. And I think if you're Chicago, you're pushing all your chips in the middle again. And I don't know. I was still a Keep Fields guy for Chicago. That was just my personal opinion. I think he played really well to end the year.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of sad seeing that his value isn't what it should be.
Yeah. And it's just like, again, with the story that they were talking about, I dive into the comments a little more because I like entertainment in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are pretty funny. But there was one that kind of stuck with me. It was, he said, I've never heard Caleb Williams say anything positive about his teammates. Have you?
Not off the top of my head.
Everything that, again, it could just be the media being biased towards, oh, this dude's going to be the number one. We can't have him saying anything like...
Which wouldn't shock me either.
Yeah. The media nowadays is very...
It's gone nuts.
Yeah.
It's gone out of control.
It's very reverse bias and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of seems like you never hear him in the media saying anything positive about his teammates. It's always about his play. But, I mean, obviously, you're going to be the first overall pick. You got to talk yourself up. Like, I mean, that's what everyone does. It's to bring your stock up. You're taught to, like, talk yourself up, big yourself.
You just can't do what Josh Rosen did.
Yes. But that was bad.
That was horrible.
I'm the best quarterback in this draft.
You don't go that far.
No, you're not. But I feel like at some point, people have to think that some of his talk has merit. Like, he's proven that with some of this USC team was bad. Like, the defense,
Their defense was
bad. He was essentially midway through the year carrying this USC team. Obviously, they went 7-5, which is very bad for USC standards. But you got to think, do they get any of those 7 wins without him?
Well, I'd say you probably get at least 2 or 3.
Yeah.
But you're not getting 7 out of them.
Well, I mean, it's hard to win when your offense scores 35, but your defense gives up 45. I mean,
A game.
It's extremely difficult. I mean, they should have beat the Washington. I mean, Washington, what, dropped 50 bomb on them?
I think.
It wasn't even Penix who killed him. It was Dylan Johnson running for 200-plus yards.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard to stop a team when your defense is built from styrofoam and bubble wrap. I mean, it really is. The media not giving Caleb good positivity about his teammates. Man won a Heisman and brought his entire offensive line up there. I mean, invited a lot of his teammates to the Heisman presentation, even if he didn't win it. I mean, he was prepared. I mean, he was prepared to shout out his teammates, shout out his coaching. Because honestly, There's a reason why he's at USC and not Oklahoma still. Lincoln Riley moved. I mean, I feel like Cliff Kingsbury has something to do with that because he was his OC. It's just something like that.
The way you're saying it, and the first thing that came to mind, my brain is completely media rotted. All I think of is system quarterback.
Oh my God.
He hasn't played in another system.
Good God.
No, that's not the case at all. That's just off rip. My brain automatically goes to that, but that's couldn't be farther from the case.
I think it'll be very interesting, though, to see how he transitions to life in the NFL. I'm very curious. That should be a hard knock spot.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Oh,
this
year. That's got to be the one you look at. Honestly, wasn't Cincinnati supposed to be it? No, that was quarterback. The Netflix doc, it was supposed to be with Burrow.
Yeah.
But then they switched it to...
I forget what it is now.
I forget. Originally, it was Mariota.
Yeah. Like, I know in 2018, that's the reason why they were heavy honing in on the Browns being in Hard Knocks, because you had the first overall pick, Baker Mayfield, that was kind of whoa out of nowhere and kind of was late into the draft process, then rose up to one. And obviously, what we had with Jarvis and everybody and having a revamped team and thinking we were going to go to the playoffs, and that's why Hard Knocks wanted us to be there. I think... if you're Hard Knocks, I think Chicago surely gets consideration. I think for sure. You can give it to a multitude of different teams.
Oh yeah,
it's just a matter of who. Like with last year, the New York Jets, which I was glad they picked them. I was glad I got to watch. I watched the whole thing. I love Hard Knocks. I watch it every season that it comes out. It really gives you unprecedented access, and especially the regular season one they have now, that they started with Arizona. Especially because it showed when you knew Cliff Kingsbury was gone.
Yeah.
And that Arizona team fell apart.
With Hard Knocks, I this will probably be the last point we talk about.
Probably.
But with Hard Knocks, you know how they usually do it with, like, at least pretty good teams? Like, they did it with the Jets. The Jets were supposed to be really good.
Mm-hmm. Teams with high potential.
They did it with the Dolphins. The Dolphins are supposed to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what they do with bad.
That too.
I want to see what they do with bad teams. Like, I want them to go to, like, Carolina. I want them to go to Vegas. I want to say Oakland so bad, but
no.
I want to see them go to like the Raiders or something like that. Like do something like terrible. I think a really fun one this year would be the Chargers.
That wouldn't shock me either. Because of Harbaugh.
Bring in Harbaugh, losing pretty much every single offensive weapon you can think of on that team. That would be a really fun one.
Yeah, I think you give it some consideration, but I think you'd rule it out just due to the fact that they are going to be kind of bad, or at least below average, I would say.
I mean, I kind of would like to see the Panthers one. The NFL would never sign off of it, but their owner is so terrible. And
oh my
I feel
God.
Like if they were to show it on a national television, I think Roger Goodell would have to do something he's never done before, which is actually butt himself into his own, I'm going to call it like a company, like NFL, his own business or whatever, that he... is commissioner of, he might actually have to step in and do something. I kind of see him as this money grabber. He's really smart with money. You can't tell me otherwise. He's one of the smartest brands when it comes to making money, making profit. But when it comes to being I hate to say it, a good human being, there's a reason why he gets booed on draft day.
Oh, well,
which
yeah.
is such a tradition.
Oh, my God, yes. Especially when with COVID, they still did it anyway. He just embraces it at this point. You kind of have to. But, I mean, what Goodell has done with trying to globalize the NFL, I think is smart on his behalf, and especially for the whole game of football, I think it was going to happen eventually. You have these games going like overseas. I know I've been hearing that the Browns are the favorite to play in Jacksonville's second home in London this year. Shocker, breaking news. We were projected for Brazil, now it's London. I just want to stay in the States, please.
Yeah.
Probably won't happen.
Gabe, before we end it, you were saying about how you'd want to see it with Dave Tepper and the Panthers. How would you have liked it if you had it back with Washington's old management?
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. You know how bad that would be? The amount of heat Dan Snyder already had. I mean, I've never seen so many Fs on a report card. And I had a 56 test score in AP Physics in high school. And I haven't seen an F so bad they gave us for pretty much anything when it came to, you know, any type of equipment, fielding. Like, our staff was pretty good. Like, they gave not our medical staff, but Trent Williams' problem. But
oh my god,
you know, when it came to like strength coaches, conditioning coaches, overall like sports therapists, we were actually pretty good when it came to that stuff. But you kind of have to compensate when you feel. You know, you go down to a JV down south to some place in Alabama that has like doesn't even know what football is, and they have a better field than we do.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, God, I remember seeing those report cards. Oh my God, nightmare looking, just F on like field stuff.
It's like they gave the Cardinals an F, but they're like the Washington field is so horrendous that an F just won't stand. So we were graded the first ever F- in grading system history.
Well, and didn't the Cardinals have an F because they made their players pay for food?
Yeah, but we had an F- because we're Washington.
Oh, well, yeah.
And it was voted on by the players.
Yeah, well, that's where it comes from. Obviously, it's from the players and your own players at that. I was trying to think. I've lost my train of thought. But I know they wouldn't give access because I think teams can decline it or something. So I know Tepper's definitely declining that.
Yeah, it goes by the owner. He's definitely declining. Dan Snyder would decline it in a heartbeat. I mean, the Raiders, Davis, he would decline it. I think it's good exposure if you have a good culture. And by God, Washington hasn't had a good culture since I was in the womb, maybe. I don't know. Probably before that, even, because Dan Snyder was still there.
Yeah, he's been there for a good while. I'm trying to think. I don't know who they'll give it to. I just hope they give it to a team with rising potential. Honestly, wouldn't shock me would be the Houston Texans.
I was just about to say Texans would be perfect.
Especially new uniform reveals, how much younger players they have, younger head coach.
I'd love to see the Falcons, man.
With
all that young talent on there, seeing how they'd grow. Maybe Bijan won't vape on camera. But dude, I don't blame Arthur Smith for that. Vaping before you're doing a conditioning sport that takes a lot of running. Like, have you ever vaped? Like, I've never, but I know people. Have you ever vaped and then had to play basketball?
Oh my God, no, I would
never
want to
do that. If
we
see people vaping, like, if I saw one of my athletes vaping at a track meet, I would sit them down and say, you're done. Like,
oh,
you're
yeah.
not running.
Dude, I could only imagine how bad that would be. Could you imagine, like, getting smoke in your lungs and then trying to run?
Dude,
it'd be
no.
terrible.
I back when I used to play high school soccer, I got sometimes gassed because I'm running like 20 straight minutes trying to, because especially like if our offense isn't clicking one game, it's always me and my back line trying to defend. And I know you as a goalie can kind of attest as well. If you, like, your defense isn't doing too much and you're getting shots up on you constantly, you're eventually going to fatigue out. It's just how it happens.
Yeah, but speaking of gas and the draft, it wouldn't be a draft talk if we didn't talk about the good old Laramie Tunsil gas mask incident.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's the last point.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I remember when that first
draft. Remember how much his draft stock tanked?
Tanked.
He was supposed to be like high lottery, wasn't he?
I thought it was supposed to be like top five, top seven.
Yeah, like high lottery.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He dropped like 16 or something?
He fell out of the top 15, yeah.
I think it was 16 or 17, something in the mid-late. Oh my God. And that's tough though.
What is it with like people doing dumb stuff right before the draft? Like Jalen Carter.
Well, I think it was an older video that got leaked because his stuff got hacked or something like that. Or maybe it was recent. I knew it was he got hacked and someone posted, I think, from his account. And teams look at that. It doesn't matter really how late it was.
Yeah.
They don't know and they're gonna pass on you.
And this year we have what is it, from Texas? The D tackle?
Oh, the what, Sweat or whatever
Tavion
it was?
Tavion Sanders or whatever it was? Oh, it was, no, it was Sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what is it? There's always one every year where someone does something, like, numbskulled right before the draft and their stock tanks.
He got himself.
DUI,
Patrick Mahomes Sr., whatever you want to call it. I mean, like, he got himself that. And, I mean, his draft stock now just went from possibly second, like good second round position to he might not even be picked day two. So that's something to look at.
Oh, absolutely. Or it'd be very late in day two.
For an inside tackle position, RJ, that could fall to the Browns because his draft stock just takes a hit.
Well, I'm going to name you a name that we took a chance on like that and it didn't very end up well. Perrion Winfrey. If you know Cleveland, you know. Good God. I thought he was going to be good, too, which was pissed me off the most. Oh, my God. I thought he'd be good at Oklahoma. Took him, and he just had off-the-field problems. Eventually, just had to get rid of him. It's a waste of a draft pick. So I think with teams doing that, they're going to take him low. and it wouldn't shock me. It really wouldn't, but I mean, wow.
Yeah, having a good personality, I think, is it's up there on a lot of people's boards. Because you don't want a situation to where your player just, like, does something so dumb. I mean, pick a Raiders player. But you don't want to have something, a guy with a great potential, and then he just does something so stupid. It's just one mistake and just end it all. It's like, you've got to be smart with it.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you've got someone with personality issues, and that's why teams have so many meetings. If you have someone with personality issues, and there's no hiding it, they talk to coaches, they talk to teammates.
Top 30 visits, too.
They talk to everyone. They would know.
Oh, yeah.
They would know. And if they know...
They have people who do research.
Yeah, and if they know and they ignore, that's on them.
Oh, yeah. And teams have done it in the past, for sure. But, wow. But I think that'll be the last topic we talk about. And, guys, I think we're officially at the end of year one of this podcast, which is nuts. I know we talked about this last summer, just even having it up as a pipe dream. We all met on a first-year adventure trip. And I think going... We recorded our pilot episode in a bedroom, for God's sakes, on voice memos.
Yeah.
My God. And looking to where we are now with about... What were we at, Gabe? You said like 6-something?
Yeah, we're
approaching
700 downloads.
Near 700 downloads? God, that's insane. I know. I'll say it first. You got, the support has been amazing. Just looking month by month and seeing just how fast we've grown, like, we appreciate all, every listener, every download, every single person. I know even the people that are listening and then promote it themselves, I think has been, we thank you all so dearly. I think it's been such a fun experience to kind of learn. I know our first couple episodes aren't necessarily the prettiest because we were just all getting used to it, learning, like, how to necessarily talk about this in a fashion, and obviously neutralism, I think, was something, a big part for everybody here. I know that it was for me, at least. But we just thank you all for your incredible support. I know we have all had a blast doing these hours upon hours of research, especially for college. Wow, we have did a bunch of notes for that. And then obviously with NFL playoffs and how all that kind of drilled out, I think the sky is only the limit from here. I think we're going to be very we're going to be very flexible with content next year. I know we're even in this summer, I think we're going to try out some different stuff, use different platforms. So stay up to date on our socials, because I know we're going to be nuts with content posting, and even have a little bit of different styles of content, and even trying different things when the fall kicks around. Because we'll all be back better than ever. We might even have video camera footage now along with the audio, so you can kind of see our like live reactions and everything. Like maybe even a live show. Like we've talked about a bunch of things. I think if you guys want anything, obviously you know where to hit us up, asking for specific content or ideas. But we're just thankful you guys are here along for the ride with us, because we're learning just as much as you guys are, and dealing with our banter and shocking breaking news arguments. You hear it, you heard it all. Even stepping out of the room every once in a while is always a fun one. But anybody else got anything they add before I close it out?
This was a passion project for all of us. I don't know if we've talked about it before. We originally came up because most of us came from the same adventure trip before.
That's what I brought up in the beginning. Yeah.
It was, and then we found out about the radio station, and then we just kind of went from there. We were like, oh, podcast studio? Maybe we can actually go and do what we wanted to do for the longest time. But with us being on the radio and doing this podcast, it has been an absolute blast. Even if the viewership doesn't expand that much, it's just something we love doing.
Absolutely.
But all the support really means a lot. It's been one hell of a ride. Gosh. We've had a lot of different guests on. Hopefully, in the near future, we will get some marquee guests on. That would be very fun. But for right now, it's just a bunch of college kids talking about ball, and it's fun. It really is.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll add another thing as well. I didn't expect us to reach what we even have right now, let alone even half of it. Like, it's been insane. Like, even if we peaked here, I'd be happy with it. And every single person who listens and shares and even just does a little single thing to try and promote us, we appreciate you to death. I think you, the listeners, you guys listening to this are the reason why we're doing what we're doing. And just all the, I know the love and support that I've gotten about the podcast. And I think everybody here as well can kind of mention that as well with their families or even their friends, even just random people. I know I'm going to bring this up one more time. When I was going to the MAC tournament back when Akron was playing at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, just kind of, my mom just brings it up all the time. I think it's really funny. Like, oh, he has a podcast with his buddies. And people are like, what is it? What is it? Like, they're actually, it's insane how many people, like, from different areas. I know a couple people in Cleveland are listening right now. It's insane. It's really nuts how much something can really spread like this. Just a podcast of us talking what we know and what we're passionate about and what our careers are going to be in a couple of years. I know we all won't be here for forever. It's going to be times where we split our separate ways and just have this to look back on. And I think it's really, I don't know, it's really an amazing moment, I think, for all of us to kind of just reflect on where we came from, where we started, and now to what we're doing now. And all the work we put in, I think it's paid off. I think Gabe, Andrew, you guys got anything to add on?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely has paid off. I mean, it's definitely hard work. Andrew, man, we didn't have him for a while on here. Nico just stumbled along. He's making his own podcast. I mean, it's just a great feeling to have. It's been hard. It really.
Shout out Beyond the Mat, yeah, Nico Coretto, baby. Yeah. Check it out on U92 The Moose.
Absolutely.
I'm still upset that, and I don't have to censor this out, I'm still upset you didn't call it Doing It Raw with Nico Coretto. That would have been...
that God, we're been, bringing this up now.
It's the name that hooks people, man.
Oh my God.
People see
from
that,
the top ropes!
It would have been incredible, but it's been a great... I mean, I've had fun even editing it and just listening back. You know, nothing's more embarrassing than listening to, let's just say Connor saying something. I have to rewind it 20 times to get the quack right. And it just sounds ridiculously stupid after it.
Oh, my God.
It gets fun.
you probably had a lot of fun going through my Jonah Williams rant.
Oh, no. My earbuds were, like, down. Like, it was, like, they're, like, halfway up on my beats. And it's, like, oh, I hear, like, the spike. It's just full up. Massive spikes, and it's like, no, let's turn this down a bit.
I've got a few opinions about Jonah Williams, if it isn't evidently clear.
Him and obviously the Newark turnstile that John loves to talk about.
Mekhi Becton, baby.
Oh my God. John and Dom have been two amazing additions as well, kind of to add on. I expect them to be back in full force, obviously, in the fall as well. But we just want to kind of have a episode that kind of started with like the core that started, and then also Nico here in the background in the studio. Beyond the Mat, take it a listen. But I'm going to just say this for everybody here and even our guests that aren't here, just thank you guys for the support. It's really a dream come true, kind of doing what we do and actually treating it seriously and giving genuine discussions. It's good practice for us. I think it's something we're going to use in the future, and I think we're not going to regret a single minute. I know I'm not, for a fact.
Yeah, and thanks you guys for sticking with us during our hiatus. I mean, that's tough to do. We couldn't get episodes out for months, and, you know, the breaks happened a lot, and it was tough to get content out. But when I released that that preview video, I mean, the amount of love we got for it, when I finally was able to upload the videos after we got, I'm going to say it, like, complete control over it, it was great. We had a big spike in downloads. People were definitely waiting to listen, and that's what makes that so enjoyable, to see that even though we were out for a while, it felt like it was just waiting. It was like that. It was a delay that people just was waiting in line for, really, to just jump up.
Absolutely. It was. I felt relief too. Also, gaining finally when you dropped the news and dropped the bomb that you got full control. I think we were all just relieved. Like, we were like, oh, are we just doing this just to do it at this rate and not upload it and get it out there? But no, we ended up finally settling it out, getting everything figured out, and then just a huge drop. Obviously, that preview hype video was nuts. I loved it. One of my favorites. But we've had a lot of ups and downs, and we've learned a lot. We appreciate you all enjoying the ride. 25 episodes in a span of how many months?
Like 9. I mean, I think this is like, no, we started in 8, yeah.
8, yeah, and that's not even including breaks
not
either.
Not even including breaks.
So you're probably talking like a good 7 months,
yeah,
6.5.
It's been a ride, and it's only up from here. I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like we have big things in store coming in the future. We'll get bigger contacts, bigger people we know. I'm definitely going to be reaching out to some people. I mean, it just doesn't happen. You're going to, the Instagram DMs I'm about to answer for people, they might know my name and they might wish they won't.
Oh my God.
How annoying I might sound, but you know, sometimes it just it's just that persistence that catches people's eye.
Yep. Dedication, experience you're trying to gain. But we're going to be back better than ever next fall. We'll kind of release a date that we'll be back more towards when it gets closer.
I'd say late August
At the absolute latest.
Yeah, September, late August at the earliest.
Yeah, I think most of us will be here, or we might even just do a couple like lead-up episodes, just a couple of us getting in the studio, kind of getting stuff figured out, kind of just overviewing everything we missed in the summertime. Maybe we can do that as well. But wow, like I said, short episode, and it's already an hour over, so... I think that's a good place to stop it. Thank you, everyone, for just an amazing year, amazing growth. Obviously, all of you guys here for obviously great work, great stuff. Behind the scenes, I know we do a lot of work, and we're going to continue to do a lot of work, especially this summer. I think will be very interesting for some of us, and even some of us to maybe make solo podcasts, and we'll never see how that works, but we'll figure it out then. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and for the final time this year. We will see you guys next fall.
Peace.